once you're free to, you know, be whoever you want to be in the game, it helps you kind of sink into that character.
It's a cool way to be to, yeah, attract those like-minded people.
Something nerdy is going to happen, and we're going to make it cool, I think.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Floor Fridays. I mean, that's just what I'm calling this year. You know, I'm so excited that, you know, so many of the Floor contestants, you know, want to come on and chat, because I just think there's so many amazing personalities on there. And one of those is my guest for the episode today, which is Sunny. So welcome to the show.
Thank you. I'm very excited to be here. We're, you know, I'm going to milk my 15 minutes for all I can.
As you should. Not many people get the opportunity to be on a show like this. And I just think it's pretty wild, like how all of you ended up getting there. I'd love to hear your story of how you came to be on the Floor, because that, you know, everyone's is so unique.
Yeah, I'll try to condense it, because it started like a year and a half ago. I had applied for, there was just an ad on social media saying, do you know trivia? And I was like, I do know trivia. And I'd never done anything like this before. So I just thought, well, you know, let's just put in a little application. Worst they can just say is nothing, you know? And so I just figured, what the heck, I'll do it. So I just did a quick application and a quick like 30-second video upload. And I ended up getting really far in that process, and which ended up being for We Are Family, which premiered at the same time as us. But I got to like the very final round, and for whatever, it just didn't go. And so then they just sort of kept me in their files and asked me to apply for some other things. And this was the fourth one that I had applied for. And this one hit. So it worked out really well.
Well, that's great. I mean, it's interesting, because like you're, from my understanding, your day job, you're a recruiter. So you're used to being the one finding people for things. What did you think of the process, as far as like how smooth it was? And obviously, like, I think they picked just phenomenal people for it.
I agree. I think pretty much everyone on there, I think, had just a fantastic personality. You know, I mean, we were all very different people, but at the same time, you know, obviously it was definitely a must, you know, to want to be a talker and be kind of like a people person, at least for bursts of time, you know, maybe not all the time, but when the cameras were on, could you at least, you know, turn it on? And I think that's something that just in my normal day job, I think almost everybody does whenever you have to do phone work or anything like that. You know, you have your normal talking to your friend's voice, and then you've got your professional voice and you're ready to go. And everything's good, you know. You kind of just know how to flip that switch and put a smile in your voice when you need to. So definitely helps in that way. But you know, it's funny, because that was part of the thing that I put in my little quick spiel of here's why you should cast me along with my application, was because for work we normally try to do Fun Fridays, and we usually have some sort of game or trivia, because we're all remote, and so we try to get together, you know, and just touch base online and do kind of like little fun team building things. And I was banned from my team's trivia days because I won all the time and it was not as fun. So I kind of became the resident game master and the queen. They call me like the queen of games. And so anytime they did any kind of virtual team building, they were like, give it to Sunny. She'll have it ready in 10 minutes. And so that was kind of something that I brought up in my spiel, was how at work I don't get to play the games anymore.
I mean, it definitely seems like, based on that, you were kind of a natural fit for something like this. You know, from your experience, because I think, you know, people have varying degrees of like a comfort level of being on a stage in front of Rob Lowe. You know, how were you on like the nerve scale when it came to actually being up there?
Very high. very, very high. The very first time that we got a chance to actually go over there and we were just practicing that walk in, I can't tell you how many times we had to practice walking into the stage and going to our spot and being like, yay, yay, this is the first time we're doing this, but it's really the 10th time. Yeah. And the first time we were going over there, they warned us like, hey, Rob is doing kind of sound checks, so don't go on just yet. Just kind of sort of be in the backstage area. And so while we were there, like, just, you know, be really quiet until we tell you it's time to start practicing your walk up and things like that. And so we were just waiting and he was running through just sample dialogue. And all of a sudden I heard him say, okay, so we have Sunny and Hannah. And I looked over at the other contestants and I said, did he just say my name? And they said, yeah, that was you. And I literally kind of doubled over for a second and I needed to just sort of breathe. Cause I'm like, this is not my life. Rob Lowe did not just say my name. And I just kind of had to have a moment. And then, you know, minutes later, when you actually get to walk onto the stage, it's so big and so shiny and just not anything I've ever done before. You know, it's not part of my normal life to do stuff like that. So it was very intimidating. And yeah, it was definitely very nerve-wracking for sure to know that, you know, he's right off the wings watching you and you can hear that when it counts down. I have my degrees in psychology. So I was like, kudos to them because they really knew how to build that tension. And as it's counting down, it's kind of a heartbeat noise. And yeah, so I just tried really hard right as you're actually about to play and to just sort of like take a breath and try to forget as much as I could, even though it's not easy, but to just try and focus on, let your brain just name the thing you're looking at. Because otherwise, if you think about anything else, it's just going to freeze up for sure.
That is true. Even though I am someone who I feel like I'm good at trivia, I also have ADHD. And so I'm like, would that cause me to get distracted in some way? So
yeah, and it did happen to me at first. The very first one that I got in my very first duel, which was for celebrities that had guested on The Simpsons, I got the very, very first clue. And the other contestants told me later they thought that like I had messed up and that I didn't realize it was my turn. And really, I did know it was my turn, but it took like 4 or 5 seconds because it was Michael Keaton. And my brain was just firing every which way. And I knew who it was, but literally in my brain was going, that's Batman. That's Batman. That's who that is. And I was screaming to my brain in my head going, no, idiot, what's his name? Make it come out of your mouth. And so it took about 5 seconds till I got it out. And then after that, then it just started coming. But that first one was like a hurdle.
Actually, that's fair, though, because something that I know that I was discussing with Lindsay and Tom, and I think that that's a good point because, you know, different people's brains work different ways. For me, you know, when they had the idioms, I immediately right away, it took me 1 second on every one of them. But when it was a picture, I had more challenges because to me, like I do a lot of brain association and like I may associate that person or that thing with something else that is not the word that I would want to say. So it can be very difficult in that regard.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And it is subjective. You know, I mean, that's something that, you know, there's always going to be some kind of different thoughts on what different answers are and things like that. Cause it is a subjective thing of, you know, what you see could, you know, be referred to as a few different things. So it was, yeah, it was always, you know, I mean, I came up with that in my desserts one. I was like, there were a couple. I'm like, I don't know that I would have, you know, I don't know about that. But I mean, everybody got at least a couple that were questionable to them. You know, I mean, nobody knows at all. And that's what makes the game interesting is, you know, everybody's kind of frame of reference.
Yeah, and I've definitely talked about that in a couple of the interviews that I've done, because there were certainly times as a viewer where I was playing along and I'm like, I would be frustrated with that one, because I mean, like, technically that is a way to call that thing, but you know, it just seemed to me, it seemed more that at times it may have seemed like a little inconsistent where like an answer was okay for one situation, but not okay for another situation. So, you know, I would say if I had any feedback watching, that would be a good thing to dial in for a season 2 and make sure there's a little bit better consistency.
Absolutely. Yeah. I think as much as you can, you know, you want to put that margin of error as slim as you possibly can. So, I mean, definitely anything to tighten that up would be good. My idea was to kind of throw like a wild card thing in if they do another season where before anybody gets to play, like before episode one starts, everyone kind of like does the proverbial draw straws kind of a thing. And whoever gets the, like the wild card or whatever, that means whenever it's your turn, you can choose whoever you want on the entire board to challenge. It doesn't just have to be somebody around you. And if somebody challenged you before you got to use it and you lost, then they get your wild card and they get to like save it for another time. That was my idea because there were a lot of them I wanted to take on that were completely opposite ends that I knew I would never get a chance to. So I thought that would be cool if you could just get kind of like a pass to get somebody all the way across the board that you felt comfortable in.
I love that idea. I actually think that's a really great, great twist. So, I mean, that could be a cool thing for them to do. Yeah, and it's funny you just like mentioned another interesting point because, you know, there certainly were people who had categories that they would have liked to do. And in some cases, I know I was just talking to Stephanie recently and, you know, she mentioned that her whole reasoning for going after horror movies was because that was the category that she really wanted originally. And it kind of messed with what her strategy was, which was to lay low. But when you're taking a big piece of territory, unfortunately, you're no longer laying low at that point.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's, you know, kind of what the, you know, another interesting point of the strategy is like, you know, do you want to, you know, your odds of winning the ultimate prize are 1 in 81, but your odds of potentially winning, you know, 10 or 20, if you have to share it, you know, are much higher. So do you want to potentially try and get that? Or do you want to just sort of stay invisible and hope for the long game, even though your chances are, you know, all that kind of stuff is, do you play it safe or do you just go for it? And so that's definitely something interesting. I can understand that though. I think, you know, we all had ones that, you know, some of us were happier than others with our categories. My number one that I had hoped for, they said, if you could pick anything in the world, mine was going to be boy bands. But they said, you can't have that. That's not going to be a category. And then my next one was 80s sitcoms, which ended up being completely across the board for me. So I didn't get to do that. But I was still pretty happy with getting desserts because I had brought up, you know, I would like to watch a lot of the baking shows and baking competitions and all that kind of stuff. And I have won a couple very, very, very small time baking competitions. So they said, let's go with that. And I was not upset about that.
Yeah. One thing that I wanted to ask, speaking of like big territory, is that obviously like you ended up, you know, coming on and defeating Steve, who had a rather sizable piece of territory. Was that, I mean, because again, people have their different strategies, but I think, you know, as we saw how things played out, having a lot of territory early in the game seemed to be a detriment because people are going to just come after you. I mean, is that, you know, you obviously want to win the duels, but like, is that the way that you wanted to go down or were you hoping to kind of hide out there?
You know, I did want to stay there as long as possible. And so I was glad I got to stay. At least I didn't really emerge until episode 5. And so I was glad about that. I was kind of the halfway mark that I sort of came out. And I was actually really happy with it because I feel super confident with the Simpsons stuff. And it was actually kind of funny because since that category kind of became a bit of a twist in itself, it wasn't really about the Simpsons. It was celebrities on the Simpsons, which we were not expecting. That I didn't know that. Steve didn't know that. none of us really knew that. But it worked out, obviously, because I just do know general like celebrity pop culture. And I had kind of joked to my husband afterwards of, oh, I would have liked to do A-listers too, but I guess I kind of did it. I guess that's basically what it was. But I was either one of those I was really confident in. And I also felt like I kind of had a pride thing because the original person that had Simpsons was Sarah, who unfortunately got randomized, so she didn't get to play it. But she and I were probably the closest of any of the friends that I made while I was there. And I was so sad that she didn't get to do her category. And so I was like, I must avenge Sarah and, you know, take home Simpsons for her. So, and I just also have to say, as far as Steve goes, I was so positive people were going to hate me because Steve was genuinely the nicest guy in the whole thing. And I felt really bad taking him out. But yeah, he was super, super sweet. I loved Steve. And as did Rob. Rob absolutely loved
Steve. Well, I mean, I think it was like, it seemed like it was hard in general because there were a lot of cases where I think you saw people who seemed to have a really good rapport with each other having to duel. And then, you know, someone has to go home. So you have to, you know, you do what you got to do.
Well, and I don't think it's giving away like, and I don't think it's spilling any tea that they wouldn't want us to say, but that is kind of like a little bit of a behind the scenes thing is because I, you know, people might say, well, if you liked Steve so much, you said kind of not mean, but some sort of like trash talk stuff towards Steve. Why would you do that then? And honestly, like I take full responsibility. No one told me to say anything. Everything I said, you know, I said, but they did encourage us very much so to amp up the trash talking a bit. They were kind of saying that it would be more competitive and it would make things more suspenseful if, you know, we were all like really cutthroat gunning for each other and not as friendly, but it obviously still came out. We were still giving each other a lot of hugs and all that kind of stuff. So, so I tried to just take the note because, you know, I wanted to make good TV, and just kind of throw some little one-liners in there. But yeah, we all, for the most part, we really genuinely liked each other.
Well, it's funny because, you know, I kind of talked to Stephanie a little bit about that, like where the realm that I come from in the BattleBots world, like it's competition, like, you know, it's drag out robot fights and everybody backstage, you know, is friends. And yeah. Really, I think that comes through a lot on that show as well. Like you can't hide the fact that you like these other people that much. So, you know, but that's what I thought was so great about the floor, honestly, like the camaraderie was amazing considering like this large prize that only one person's going to win.
Yeah, and we're all very competitive too, so that part was not wrong, but we were both friendly and competitive, I think would be very fair to say.
Yes, there is a way to balance that for sure. Now, unfortunately for you, you got this big piece of territory. And then the next thing you know, you're having to duel again versus Joey. And it was in your own category, which I don't know if it was more bittersweet or like what the feeling was of going out on your own category.
You know, I think it all depends on like how it pans out. I think really, you know, because I mean, I think if you get up there and you just get stumped a bunch of times, you probably would be really bitter and just be like, man, I crapped out on my own category, you know, that stinks or whatever, you know, or I'm going to get some backlash because I'm supposed to be an expert and stuff like that. But I felt like my goals going out, I had two goals going into the entire thing. Number one was don't have a viral moment where you like just make an idiot out of yourself. And it lives on in internet infamy forever. And the other one was, I'm like, even if I'm just out immediately, I'm one and done, whatever, I want to at least play well, you know, because I'm like, as we saw with a lot of other things, like the brunch duel, like both Danny and Stephanie, like never missed almost. So like they were just back and forth, but nobody played badly. It was just somebody had to win, you know, and stuff. And so that was kind of my goal was I'm like, even if I lose immediately, that's it. Cause I never, ever expected to actually win money or anything like that. I was just chalking it up as like a cool experience. I'm like, I just want to at least play well. That was my thing. And so I think that was the number one thing that I kind of was thinking as I was watching the dessert stool with Joey was I did better than I kind of remembered doing. And so I was like, well, I still did pretty good. I think the couple that I missed, cause I think I just missed two. I missed bread pudding and I missed the panna cotta. And I was like, yeah, I possibly could have, I probably should have gotten panna cotta. I think I was just thrown off cause there was so much fruit on it or whatever, you know, things like that. The bread pudding was a little questionable, but like I said, we all had questionable ones here and there. So nothing like unfair about it. And so basically I was just kind of like, at that point, I'm like, I won money. It really wasn't upsetting to me that I lost in my own category. Cause I felt really confident, but I'm like, I did know most of them. So I still felt okay about it.
Yeah, and I mean that's what's great is like yes, you only had two duels, but you did win money, which is great. And honestly, like I think with the odds of having that many people and only one people wins in the end, if you won any money, it's a victory.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, I never ever expected it. So to be walking out, played, my goals were accomplished. I played well. I didn't fall on my face or anything like that. Anything crazy. I was happy to just walk away with check in hand, basically.
For sure. Now I know that I've heard different things about like when contestants had to go home after you were out. Were you in a situation where like you ended up having to leave immediately the next day after you were out?
Yeah, I think I have like the ultimate story out of the entire cast
Okay.
about that because I'm sure it's been mentioned. I watched some of the other contestants' interviews on here, but about the schedule was how it was intended to be 2 episodes a day, but just didn't work out that way. First day was just the first episode, and it took forever, absolutely forever, just as they figured everything out, because it was a new show. So the next day they did 2 and 3, and then the third day, we had to make up for missing that first one. So we had to do episodes 4, 5, and 6 all crammed together in one day. So episode 4, I'm still just standing there, nothing happens. Episode 5 happens, I won. And then right after episode 5 wrapped, they let us break to go over to the other building to go get dinner. But because I won money that episode, I had to stay after. I couldn't go over and get dinner. I had to stay and film sound bites. And it ended up taking longer than expected. And so I missed really all of dinner. I had like 2 bites of a sandwich right as we were like walking back out to start episode 6. And so I'm like, okay, well, whatever. Again, can't complain. I just want money. So I just kind of was like, okay, well, that's the way that goes. And then we started episode 6 and I lost. But then again, because I was one of the featured people, I had to again stay after and do sound bites. So everybody else went back to the hotel. I was at the studio doing sound bites till like midnight. And so I had like no dinner, I had barely lunch, I had hardly anything to eat, and I was getting so tired and got back to the hotel like around 1 a.m. and I get a text saying the car will be there to pick you up for the airport at 6:30. And I had to pack all my stuff from a week's worth of stuff. I had to shower, get all my stuff. So basically by the end, I ended up maybe getting 2 hours of sleep before an international flight back home. So I was very tired and very hungry. So, but that's showbiz, I guess.
That is crazy. Props to you
Very
for
long
getting
day.
through that. I think I would have been literally on the floor.
A very long day.
Obviously then you weren't there. You got to watch the rest of everything at home. What did you think about watching the rest of it and kind of how it played out? Because I think it's certainly the people that kind of had their own little corners and areas, it really was an advantage to get to the end because nobody really went after them.
Yeah, absolutely. It was, and there were, I don't know, it was just so interesting to me to see like the streaks that came out afterwards, though, because Gene went for like 9 duels, and I think Nick had like 6 or 7 or something like that. And so it was really cool to see just how many streaks and how close people really did get, to just dominating. And I think that kind of does reinforce that. I can see both sides of the coin. I can see how it reinforces of, oh, it's not fair because somebody who just laid low can maybe win it all. But also, I think it can reinforce the other side of it too, of if people can win 9 duels at any given time, they could potentially win it at any given time. It just, you never know what categories are going to be left. You never know who's going to falter in their own category, things like that. So I think it kind of also reinforces that it is as fair while trying to be unpredictable as possible, because anybody can start just going on a tear at any time. So it,
Yeah,
I think that that's what keeps it interesting.
For sure. And honestly, like you brought up Gene, there was a large part of me that felt that if he hadn't inherited a category that he absolutely knew nothing about, that he could have kept going. But it's like really risky when you inherit something that you're like, I don't know if I can defend this. Then you're left with less options.
Absolutely. And I also think I saw so many people after the very end say, why did Arthur pick fashion? He should have picked international foods and so on that. But I totally understood why he would have taken a chance on fashion because she had been Jacqueline had been sitting on international foods for so long. She had had so many days to really study it. And so he was trying to just sort of pull the rug out from underneath her at the last moment and get something that maybe she would just automatically know, but she wouldn't have had very recent reason to study it. So I got where he was going with it. Unfortunately, it didn't pan out, but I could definitely understand his strategy there.
Oh yeah, for sure. I mean, unfortunately, we do not have access to the multiverse to see how it would have
Right.
played out the other way. I think for me, I was more looking at it as like, yeah, she probably knows a lot about that, but if he also knows a lot about that, then it could be one of those just it comes down to who says the answer is the fastest and it's a luck of the draw. But yeah, you
No.
never really know.
Yeah, and that was kind of one thing that I sort of told myself as, you know, we did get to spend time together and we're friendly with each other. I was like, if someone has something that you would not do well in, don't tell them that. You know, because I was trying to keep it just a little bit close to the vest. Like, if somebody did have something that I was like, oh, you know, I wanted that category or whatever, I would go ahead and, you know, feel free to say that. But I tried my best to not just say, like, oh, I would never want that. I didn't want them in case, you know, it did come down to, I didn't want them knowing that I don't know that.
Yes, exactly. The best play is to either pretend you know everything or know nothing about everything else.
Absolutely, absolutely. I think, you know, and I think that's a great reason why Tucker was able to stay on for so long, who originally had fashion icons and the pink suit and everything. He stayed down there till really far towards the end because people just, as soon as you met Tucker, you're like, he knows his fashion icons. He kind of is a fashion icon himself. And so no one wanted to challenge him. You know, they're like, I'm not anyone that got near him, and his area was really active a lot. No one wanted to take him on because they're like, I'm not gonna go against his category. So it works for a lot of people to just kind of, you know, just project out there what you all know and have people kind of just keep their distance a little bit.
Yes, for sure. And let me add that if fashion icons is a category in season two of The Floor and you don't put a picture of Tucker up there, I'm going to be really disappointed.
I agree. I am with you. They should know their floor history. Absolutely.
Now for you kind of since the show, you know, how has it been? Because I, you know, anytime that you're on a show like that, there's obviously a period of time from filming until when it airs that, you know, you can't say anything about what happens, which I'm sure is really difficult. And then when it finally does come out, then there's that period of time where you might, you know, walk down the street and somebody's like, hey, you look familiar. So I'm curious about like what that's been for you since filming.
Yeah, it's definitely been a mix. I will take this as an achievement that I did not, you know, blow the secret of me winning money as well as you know, who ultimately won or anything like that. I was able to after episode 5 when I won, they did tell me you can call your husband. So I did call him. So he was literally the only person that knew the whole time, like the whole, God, how many minutes, like 6 months, until it aired. Everyone, like my sister would call and try and badger me like every time, like for the longest time up until like November when they started advertising it, we couldn't even really tell them anything about the show. I would just say I'm on a shame game show and it's on a major network and that's really all I can say. And you know, so you know, people at work, my sister, you know, brothers, all that kind of stuff would constantly be asking me questions and I was like, I can't tell you, I signed my life away. You know, those NDAs really helped you keep a secret. So I genuinely couldn't say anything for a few months, and then at least when the ads started coming out, I could tell them all about, you know, what the premise was, you know, who was hosting, things like that. I still didn't tell anyone about the money though, because right up until it started airing, they did not really divulge that episode prize. They really just said the ultimate prize of $250K. And so I said, I'm not saying anything till they say something. So I purposely wasn't saying anything. And just the most of it I got was from different coworkers saying, I'm still watching. When are you going to be on? And I said, just keep watching. I promise it's gonna happen. My time will come. And so my phone was definitely exploding after episode 5. But no, it is, because since I do work remotely 100% of the time, and I work for a very large company, so it's not at all unusual to be on meetings with people I've never spoken to before, things like that, that are out of New York or whatever. I do get that a lot in the middle of a thing. Is just like, were you on the floor? You know, that kind of, or like somebody else will mention it that does know me, that's also in the meeting, and they're like, I was wondering, where is the, you know? And so it'll come up still in meetings, and I'll always have to answer some questions about it, which I obviously don't mind. I only got recognized once in person, but that was more than I thought I would. I was at like a friend's birthday party, and somebody ran up going, I'm sorry, what's your name? And I said, oh, hi, I'm Sunny. And they go, I thought that was you. I didn't know you were going to be. And they just started freaking out. They're like, can I get a selfie with you? And I said, I want a selfie with you. You're my fan. I'm like, that's amazing. I didn't think that was going to happen. So, but yeah, it more so happens with work, that, you know, technically coworkers, but people I've never interacted with out of the thousands of people that work there, will just kind of randomly message me of, I was just watching on Hulu, or I just saw a rerun on Fox. Was that you? And so that's fun, that I enjoy it. But yeah, it was very, very hard to not say anything right up until then. Cause yeah, literally no one knew. My husband was the only one that knew any real info about the show. So yeah, it's very hard for me to keep secrets, but the NDAs help for sure.
They do help. That's a little bit of a motivation there.
Definitely. Well, and also I think a lot of people, I don't know if it's come up in other episodes, but a lot of people don't realize you don't, like, I know I use the term like walking away with check in hand. You don't actually get paid right then and there. I had to wait. I think it was maybe just like a week after mine aired, I got the check. But then, so that was like over 6 months since I filmed it, that I, you know, and they made sure to tell us all the night before we started filming that that's entertainment law, is the clock doesn't start ticking until you film it. And from the day that it, or excuse me, till it airs, not from when you film it, but the clock doesn't start ticking until it airs. And from then, the network still has 6 months after that to actually pay you. And so I definitely wasn't going to jeopardize that and say anything to anybody. So yeah, no, I kept my mouth shut from everybody.
Yeah, I can definitely appreciate how hard that was. You know, I've never been on a show myself, but when you attend the taping of a show, you also have to sign an NDA and not tell anybody anything. So
yeah, it was very hard. And especially like when it's something good, like it's hard for me to keep those secrets. You know, like if somebody tells me something and it's something upsetting or embarrassing, or that they're, you know, sad or anything that's, you know, bad, I can keep those. But when it's good stuff, it's real about me, it's hard to keep that secret. So I'm probably never going to be able to beat that streak again for myself.
Yeah, definitely. Now my last question is just, you know, at this point, like after everything's done, what are your biggest takeaways from like your whole experience of being on this game show?
Oh wow, it's hard to say. I don't really know how to say. I think it was a cool glimpse to kind of see how everything works. I think that at least I don't want to speak for the general public, but I think, you know, from the outside, being an outsider on the whole thing, I think I just kind of had this thought that, you know, everything is so smoothly run and everything just is all planned out and all that kind of stuff. And I think it kind of is just, it's nice to see that curtain lifted of everyone's chaos, just like everyone else, you know? I mean, everyone's trying to get their stuff together, but, you know, I mean, just like any workplace, there's stuff that, you know, stuff's hitting the fan, things are getting moved around at the last minute. But that was really reassuring to me of like, okay, you know, everyone's got to deal with this no matter where you are. And especially, I think it was interesting. One of the first things that I noticed on the very first day, you know, you try not to look right at the camera, but they did have a little prompter right above it that would sort of cue up Rob to sort of what part we were at of, you know, what he would need to mention. And I did sneak a peek about halfway through the first day, and literally right after the duel is over, to where, like, you know, potentially you just lost seconds ago, and Rob's coming over, and the words that you see on the camera staring at you are "small talk with loser." And I, that was just kind of a realization moment to me of like, oh, it is not show friends, it is show business. And we've actually joked about, a bunch of us, we've joked about getting t-shirts that say it's part of the small talk with loser club, you know. But I was just like, oh, it is, you know, it can be cutthroat, and you know, they just, they get down to business and they do what they need to do to put it all together. So I think just that was something interesting to me, is just how all the pieces come together, you know, with, I've always been interested in editing and things like that. So it was always, it was just a cool process to see all the hours and hours and hours of filming get, you know, put right into like, what, like 44 minutes or whatever it is, and see how well they did that and see that it all just kind of comes together in the end, even though it was a very big undertaking for sure.
Yeah, you couldn't have put that better. You know, like I said, different experience on my part watching it, not directly participating, but like, you know, seeing a film taping and then seeing like what it looks like on TV. It's night and day. And anybody that gets the opportunity to even attend a taping of a show, I would highly recommend it just as an experience to kind of see how that works.
Absolutely. It was absolutely exciting, and I would do it again in a heartbeat. Even if I hadn't won money, I would still absolutely go back and do it all over again. But it's just, it's interesting. It's interesting to just kind of get a glimpse into that world that is, as I've said, not at all what my day to day is like. You know, I'm now 41. I was 40 when I filmed it. You know, I've got a kid, got, you know, just a normal job. And so it's really cool to just kind of get a chance to do something that's not at all within your box. There we see, I brought it right around for you, outside of the box. That's not at all within your normal daily scope. It's always just, I kept referring to it as my adventure. So that's definitely what it was.
I named my channel Outside of the Box for a reason.
There you go. So, I try to help.
Well, that's great. You know, I've said this on the prior episodes, but like, you know, for fans that haven't seen The Floor, highly recommend. It's a really cool show. I think, you know, most people will find some things in there that they are familiar with or recognize, and it's just fun to play along. So,
yeah. And I love hearing that people enjoy it so much and seeing that it did become such a hit. Cause you know, you always, you know, even when you're proud of like something that you're a part of, you know, you still do want other people to like what you did. And so I know all of us are really excited, and we would always go over the ratings every day and be really excited about all the stuff that came out after to make sure that, you know, people were digging what we did.
Yes, definitely. Well, stay tuned, folks, because there will definitely be more Floor episodes coming along. But hopefully you enjoy them. Please make sure, you know, that if you do, you like, you subscribe, you comment, you share, all of those good things. Get this across social media and, you know, in people's faces so that they can check it out. And thank you to Sunny, and we will see everybody next time on the show.
Thank you.